Well, good morning, Kalani Church, both here in person as well as online. It's good to be with you all today, and I'll try and keep my message short so that, you know, we don't have to suffer in the heat today. Well, today, as announced this morning, that today we're acknowledging World Refugee Sunday. And this is the Sunday that usually follows World Refugee Day, which was established by the United Nations, and it was on June the 20th. On this day, we join with the global Christian body as we pray and intercede for, and here, this is where the numbers get kind of weird, we pray and intercede for 102 million displaced people due to war, famine, and persecution. And it's hard to get the correct numbers sometimes just because it's just hard to track. And so it could be 70 million, it could be 102 million, but we recognize that there are many people in this world who are displaced, again, as I said, due to war, famine, and persecution. As a Christian body, we are committed to recognizing world refugees, because even though we empathize with the condition, as a global community, we empathize with the conditions that cause this displacement. There are current refugee policies that deliberately discriminate or marginalize displaced communities. Some countries have sought to create conditions so bad it will deter the displaced from coming to them for aid. And the net result of those policies, combined with lack of resources and security concerns, means that displaced people are treated inhumanely and often with indifference. If you were to read your scripture today, you would recognize that in the Old Testament particularly, you would see God's heart for refugees. If we read, for example, Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 18 to 19, it actually states, "He executes justice for the fatherless and the widow, and loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing. Love the sojourner, therefore, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt." Just a little bit of a word study here. The word sojourner actually means, the word actually is tosab, which is a Hebrew word. It means that someone who is transient, a temporary and dependent inhabitant. And unfortunately, during the days of the Old Testament and during the time when the Israelites themselves were sojourners in Egypt, they were persecuted, they were abused, they were exploited. And so when God calls upon Moses to redeem his people and bring them out of Egypt, he instills this heart for the refugee. And we see this later on in Zechariah chapter 7, verse 10 to 13, which I invite you to read on your own. And again, you see this actually real dire warning from God to Zechariah on the treatment of refugees by the Israelites, because we need to take a moment to recognize that in those days, as it is today, refugees were treated poorly and they could be abused and exploited. That was acceptable in that time and context. But here through Zechariah in chapter 7, verse 10 to 13, again, we have God's giving out this warning that there would be punishment upon the Israelites. They would be ejected from their homeland and a wholesale scattering if the Israelites did not care and love the sojourner. And we actually do see that because they do harden their hearts and they abuse the most marginalized in society because they could. And of course, then we know what happened with the Persian and the Babylonians and the Assyrians, and that's a result of this hardened of hearts. We are very privileged here today to live in Canada, where the receiving of refugees has been practiced even before Confederation. For example, we have in 1776, 3,000 black loyalists, among them freemen and slaves, fled the oppression of the American Revolution and came to Canada. This is before the age of slavery. This is before the Underground Railroad. In 1830 to 1891, in a period of 60 years, we have refugees from Eastern Europe, the Polish, Jews, Mennonites, Dukhobors, and Ukrainians were all leaving the Eastern Europe, particularly Russia, in order to resettle in Canada. And then, of course, over the war, during 1946 and on, over 1 million refugees were received after World War II. We see a theme here. Canada has been very welcoming to refugees from around the world. And in most recent history, we had the Vietnamese boat people, Bosnian Muslims, Bhutanese, Iranians, Syrians, Afghanis, and once again, Ukrainians. Refugee displacement forms one contributor to global migration. According to the recent World Migration Report, there are 281 million people on the move in 2020. Of course, this was pre-pandemic numbers. To put this in perspective, this is 128 million more than in 1990 and over three times the estimated number in 1970. Canada alone received 8.5 million international immigrants, considering that our total population is 37 million. That's a lot for one country to be able to take in. Now, immediately, when you compare that to our southern neighbor in the United States, and they have over 330 million, they take in 50 million immigrants a year, or migrants a year. The point is that people are on the move all over the world, and particularly more in these last recent decades than in previous years before. So what has all this movement of people from different countries, how has that impacted Canada? Well, with the injection of millions of refugees and immigrants to Canada, the face of our country has literally changed from our legacy immigrants from Europe to Asian, African, and Hispanic. Canada moved from being a bicultural nation, obviously English and French, and adopted a multicultural policy in 1971 to accommodate the changing ethnic realities of our country. Recognizing that multiple ethnic groups have and will continue to contribute to shaping to our nation and identity. In 2021, Canada celebrated the 50th anniversary of the adoption of our multicultural policy, which is more than just governmental, it's also societal. And in another way of putting it, to be Canadian is to be multicultural. Most Canadians believe ethnic or racial disharmony does not happen in Canada. We do not discriminate against people regardless of race, religions, national or ethnic origin, color, sex, age, or physical or mental disability. We're taught to accommodate, tolerate, and coexist. Canadian multiculturalism is touted as the solution to promote harmony across a diverse society. There is a place for everyone here in Canada. And Canada as a country, because we are the first country in the world to actually establish a multicultural policy, we are the model for the rest of the world as they consider adopting multiculturalism as a societal reality. However, even our Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, will recognize that, as he states here, systemic racism is an issue right across the country, in all our institutions. In many cases, it's not deliberate. It's not intentional. It's not aggressive. It's actually individual acts of racism, although these obviously exist. We recognize that the systems we have built over past generations have not always treated people of racialized backgrounds and of the indigenous backgrounds fairly. For the Canadian Church, multiculturalism has allowed for the preservation of ethno-religious congregations of English, Scottish, German, Dutch, or Mennonite heritage, as well as provide an opportunity for us to be able to reflect Revelation 7:9 as a kingdom reality in our time. We do not need to go across to other nations now to be able to share the gospel cross-culturally. We actually have different nations coming to the shores of Canada. So that once places where it was difficult for missionaries to be able to go into, to be able to share the gospel, well, we don't have to do that anymore because the people from those nations, these closed off nations, are coming to Canada. This has then led us now to that every on any given Sunday, there are now worship services in Cantonese, Mandarin, Spanish, Korean, Tagalog, Swahili, and Urdu, to name a few. Multiculturalism has allowed for the formation of multicultural congregations. But unfortunately, there are missiologists who take issue with this model as being more in conformity with the New Testament ideal than other less ethnically diverse churches. There's an author, his name is Safwat Marzouk, he's a professor at AMBS, which is the Associate Mennonite Bible College. And he states in his book, Intercultural Church, although multiculturalism is a great step towards accepting cultural and linguistic difference, the concern is that people will end up forming islands within the same community while avoiding deep engagement with one another. Canadian multiculturalism is what motivates Canadian Christians to be hospitable and welcoming to the sojourner, the alien, and the stranger in the first place. And this is encompassed in our description of what Killarney Park MB Church is. That we are a believers, a body of believers who welcomes everyone in our community, embraces the city's multicultural identity, and cares for all peoples. As I've studied the epistemology of multiculturalism, the values of multiculturalism, which I expressed earlier, accommodation, tolerance, and coexistence, while valid, promote an incomplete expression of an intercultural community as God has designed for his people. I invite you to consider this, that accommodation is functionally to make or share space with the stranger without creating a sense of belonging. Tolerance is the acknowledgement of the other's values, beliefs, or practices, but without true acceptance or understanding. Coexistence promotes the idea of equality, but at the cost of genuine commonality. I wrote an article in Faith Today, which is put out by the Evangelical Fellowship of Canada in 2020, and I entitled that article, Longing to Belong, which expressed the desire for belonging by immigrants and second-generation Canadians as they continue to be seen as perpetual foreigners in society as well as in the church. I reference Paul's letter to Philemon as an example of what being the intercultural people of God looks like in the multicultural world. Now, the context is a letter, if you've read it, is that Paul's appeal to Philemon was for him to accept Onesimus back into the household, because Onesimus had basically run away from his master. But they were both believers in the Lord. And so Paul appeals to Philemon and says, bring him back, but not as a slave, but as a brother in the Lord. Now, Paul could have leveraged his role as a spiritual leader and mentor and really kind of basically told Philemon what to do. But rather, he chose to approach Philemon as a peer. In verse 17, Paul writes, if you consider me your partner, your companion, your brother, your comrade, show him the same courtesy as you will showing me. Paul is using his voice to advocate for another's belonging. This is deeper than just being welcoming and hospitable, though those are important. We see this similar theme in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 to 29. And this is our scripture for today. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons and daughters of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. And what is this promise? The promise to Abraham, which we refer to as the Abrahamic covenant, was that God's salvation, God's redemption of humanity, would be available through Abraham's offspring. And we know that Jesus, Christ himself, has that lineage to this promise. And that based on this promise, that no one would be excluded based on their ethnicity, socioeconomic status, nor gender to the salvation that God offered. But not only that, that as new creations in Christ, that we would come together as God's new humanity as a way to express belonging, what it looks like to truly belong in God's kingdom, as an alternative to a world system, essentially, that is more focused on separation, discrimination, prejudice. We also recognize that in this message that Paul was sharing through his theme about having God's salvation not be exclusive, but essentially to include everyone, cost him dearly. For a person, for a leader who was on the ins, if you want to use that kind of language, he was beaten, cast out, feared for his life, and finally killed for preaching the inclusiveness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul became essentially the alien and the stranger among his own ethnic people. And if you read through his letters in the New Testament, you will see that it was the Gentile Christian community that offered him belonging, even though they themselves faced intercultural challenges between the Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians. Church, the Canadian government, hospitals, schools, and corporations have already incorporated the Canadian mosaic of ethnic diversity through the policy of multiculturalism. However, unlike these institutions, the Multicultural Fellowship of Christ Disciples does not merely serve to be an illustration of inclusion. It is the representation and living testimony of God's people who, amid diversity, are intentionally living out kingdom unity in Jesus Christ, evidenced by our commitment to one Lord, one faith, one baptism, that we're going to be recognizing today through the sacrament of the communion or the Eucharist. And thus, being intercultural people of God in the Canadian multicultural context is achieved when we shift from accommodation to involvement, tolerance to empathy, and coexistence to commonness. As God's new humanity, we are called out as witnesses to the power of God to redeem and restore broken relationships with Him and with one another in the 21st century multicultural reality. Will you join your hearts in prayer with me? Father God, we just thank you again on this World Refugee Day that we can recognize the plight of refugees and sojourners throughout the world who are displaced. But also, Lord, that we recognize the way that the world has been moving throughout this last decades, and what that means for us as a country, how it has shaped who we are as your body of Christ in Vancouver, here on Kerr Street. Lord, I thank you for Killarney Park Church. I thank you, Lord, for this church that has embodied what it means not just to be a multicultural church, but to be an intentionally intercultural church that loves, embraces, and cares for its community, that embraces the multicultural identity of this neighborhood and this city, and cares enough to want to be able to share the love of Christ and the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ to all, regardless of ethnicity, socioeconomic status, gender. So, Father God, I just pray that we don't want to be just a illustration of inclusion, but really, Lord, to be a new community that expresses what it means to be in this body, to be in your body of Christ, be in your body of Christ. Lord, that we recognize each other's gifts and talents, recognize our backgrounds, that we desire to be involved in one another's lives and to involve one another in all aspects of this body, that it makes us better, Father God, and gives us an alternative to what we see in our world today, where there's fear, there's xenophobia, there's prejudice, and there's discrimination. Even for a country like Canada, who expresses this value of multiculturalism. So, Father God, may we today, as we go about our day, as we go about our week, may we be your intercultural people of God, wherever you send us, wherever you call us to be, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, and in our schools. In Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.